Good morning, everybody. Good Chodesh and a good Erev Shabbos. We are holding today in Ksubas Vav Amud Aleph, and I brought here also parts of the sugya of last week of Hey Amud Bet, and we're going to discuss today primarily the halachas of Psik Reisha, Davar Shemiskaven, very, very good stuff. So a short summary for those who weren't here last week, such as our special guest from Eretz Yisrael. So in source number one, we learned last week in the Hey Amud Bet regarding having the first Be'ila on Shabbos.
Yeah, okay.
So in source one, the Gemara says as follows: can a person has their first Be'ila on Shabbos? And we said the two sides are dam mifkad pokid or chavuri michbar. Is the blood floating inside the body? So in that case, you're actually not doing any melacha extracting the blood outside. Is it mifka pocket? Is it floating inside? Or is it chaburi mitbach? Or no? Maybe it is absorbed and you're actually now extracting it out in a way of melacha. And then the Gemara says, even if you do hold that it's mifka pocket, that it's floating, so in that case it's not a problem. Maybe there still is a problem. You need the blood, in that case it's fine. Or maybe, or maybe you're actually now making a petach, and that is the melacha. And let's say you need the blood, and the petach, which is also a melacha, comes memele, you didn't do it. So in that case, sorry, my audio is on mute, okay? Thank you. So in that case, if it's mifkat in petach melech kaosi, so the question is: halacha ke Rabbi Shimon de'amar da'avar she'imit kaven mutar, or halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda de'amar da'avar she'imit kaven asur? Is the halacha like Rabbi Shimon that says da'avar she'miskaven, the things that you do in isur that you do without any intention involved, is it mutar or asur? And that is one way of presenting the big shayla. Is a person allowed to do the first be'ila on Shabbos? Which seems to boil down to the question: is halacha like Rabbi Shimon or not? If double shemiskaven mutar or asur, I also brought here in the footnote number one. One of the primary sources of Rabbi Shimon from my favorite Masechta, as everyone here knows, Masechet Beitza, that in footnote number one, so Rabbi Shimon says there in the Brayis, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Adam Ita Kiseh V'Safsal U'Bilvad Shelo Yitkaven La'asot Charitz. That person is allowed to drag a bed, a chair, or a bench, as long that he has no intention to make a charitz in order to dig, because in that case he's doing the melacha of choresh. So that is one of the sources, and halacha ma'isa is brought down in Shin Lamed Vav. That person is allowed to walk on bushes and on grass and things like that, because even if he does disconnect it from the ground, so this is without any kavana. Okay, back to our Gemara, the Vav Amud Aleph, in source number two. So halacha ma'isa, is a person allowed to do the first be'ila on Shabbos, yes or no? Some say yes, and some say yes. Bebei Rav Amri, Rav Shari, Ushmuel Asar, in the Beis Midrash of Rav, they say, our rabbi says it is okay, but your rabbi Shmuel says it's not okay. Benehardei Amri, in the Beis Midrash of Shmuel, they say, no, your rabbi says it's not okay, our rabbi says it is okay. Amar Vnachman, Marisrak, Visimanach, Elu Mekilim Latzvam, Elu Mekilim Latzvam. Everyone are trying to find the kula, because every single rabbi, both Rav and Shmuel, allegedly, seem to say that this thing is 100% okay, and you can do the first be'il on Shabbos. Just very interesting thing to note, halacha ma'isa in footnote number two, so in Orach Chaim, Reish Pei Siv Bet, Shulchan Aruch paskins, mutar liv'ol lechatchila betula b'shabbat, ve'ein bo mishum chovel, ve'lo mishum tzarla. There is no problem of chabala, or causing tzar on Shabbos, so in that case, it is okay, halacha ma'isa, like Rav, and like Shmuel, to have the first be'ila on Shabbos. It's very interesting to note, the Be'erhet brings a machlok between the Bach and the Taz, that were very interestingly father-in-law and son-in-law. And the Bach says, "Ketav Bach b'mdinoteinu nitpashet haminhag de'ein bo'alim ve'ein lahorot eiter levetel haminhag." That our minhag in our place is not to allow the first be'ilah on Shabbos, and no one is allowed to change this minhag. However, the Taz, his son-in-law, thought differently. But the Taz ketav v'animer chalila la'asot yisur b'zeh. For sure, it is okay. Whoever says it is an isur is terrible. Chalila la'asot yisur b'zeh ubeberush shamati shachasidim geone olam nagui betzamiter. I know very well that big gigantic rabbis, big tzaddikim used to allow this thing. Ein kan chashash chumra klal. Okay, so anyways, so we see from here in the Gemara in source number 2 that we hold halacha maisa, you could do that on Shabbos, and it seems to be the reason because we hold the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon that davar she'eino miskaven is mutar. So now the Gemara asked, V'rav Shari, Rav holds that davar she'eino miskaven mutar like Rabbi Shimon, and because of that, he allows to have the first be'ila on Shabbos. V'hamar Rav Shimi bar Chizkiya mishmei d'Rav, hay misucharia deniziata asur aduka b'yom atava. Because Rav says himself regarding a barrel that has a hole in the barrel, and now you want to close the hole, so you take some kind of sponge or something, and you put it inside over there in order to stop the hole, to stop the wine, things coming out from that barrel. And why is that? Because we'll see why. We'll see what kind of issur you're actually doing here. But there is some kind of issur involved, which is a davar she'eino miskaven. And nevertheless, he says, it is usur. So we see that Rav holds that davar she'eino miskaven is usur. For that reason, he says, a person is not allowed to put this sponge, this piece of cloth, in that hole in order to prevent the wine and other beverages to come out. So in that case, how can you say that on one hand he allows the bila on Shabbos because it's davar she'eino miskaven, which is mutar, and on the other hand, he forbids to put the cloth in that barrel because of davar she'eino miskaven is usur. Concludes the Gemara, Behu afilo Rabbi Shimon modeh, Deabaye verava da metavayu, modeh Rabbi Shimon, bepsik reshe velo yamut. That they say, no, this thing, even according to Rabbi Shimon, that holds that davar she'eino miskaven, something that the issur that you do unintentionally without any kavana, although he allows it usually, but here he will forbid it. Why? Because he forbids davar she'eino miskaven in the case of psik resha, that I'm now dragging this bench. I don't know if this bench is going to really make a hole in the ground. Is it going to dig in the ground? I don't know. It's davar she'eino miskaven. And even if it happens, this is davar she'eino miskaven. But if I know for a fact that this is for sure going to happen because I'm now going to drag a very heavy bench, so in that case, it's a psik Gresha. See, Gresha comes from the case a person wants to cut the head of a chicken, and he says, I didn't want the chicken to die. I only wanted his head. I didn't want the chicken to die. Since this is for sure going to happen, for sure the chicken is going to die, for sure you're going to make a hole in the ground. In these cases, davar she'eino miskaven, even according to Rabbi Shimon, is asur. Okay? These are a bit of the background of our sugya.
Pardon me. Can I go back one step, please? Dom Nifka Bokar, or
Chaburi Michba. Yeah, so is the blood floating inside, or are you somehow extracting it outside?
Isn't that a Machloikus and Metzias?
I don't know. I mean, it could be. Yeah, it sounds like that. I don't know. Did we discuss it last week? Yeah. That is in Rav Jarez and Standing's territory, in Hey Amudbet.
Later, I can send around. I did research on this sometime.
Yeah, it could be that it was a chosu in tzias. It could be, or that maybe lemais, we know how it is decided. But the question is, how do we look at this? Is this chabur michbar or not? Like,
we're wearing our halacha
like
glasses.
What?
We're looking
there is juice inside an orange. Okay, so do we consider this connected, not to squeeze it out, or no? Maybe there is we consider these small particles of juice as already juice, which is already enough to pocket. I don't know.
It doesn't fit the lashon.
It seems that they have a chos mitzias. I hear. Okay. So according to Rabbi Shimon,
the doctors I'll send it out after.
Okay. So, Rabbi Shimon says, davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. If you do an isser unintentionally, so this thing is actually allowed. The question is why? Why is it that davar she'eino miskaven is mutter? So, interesting, the Pnei Yeshua brings two reasons, and Rabbi Usher Weiss says that no, these two reasons don't make any sense, and I actually think he has a very fair point. In source number 4, in my humble opinion, so in source number 4, the Pnei Yeshua says that why is it that davar she'eino miskaven is mutar? So he says, "Hadas davar b'shimon b'chol Torah davar she'eino miskaven mutar, haynu mishum de'yalif la mekal v'chomer meshabbat dechamira." So he says, in all of the halachas in the Torah, davar she'eino miskaven is mutar. Why? Because regarding Shabbos, the most important mitzvah, the most chomer mitzvah, in Shabbos we say say that Dorosh Nisqalin is mutar. So in that case, Kal v'chomer, it has to be also, that was the rest of the mitzvot of the Torah, Dorosh Nisqalin is mutar. Okay, why is Shabbos mutter? Why is that so? Because he says, "Ktiv b'melechet machshevet." Since we have this idea that every melacha in Shabbos has to be called a meleches machshevet, which could be explained in many ways, but I guess here he understands that I do a melacha with a clear mind, with intention, with machshava. I have now a kavana, an intention to do this thing. So since Shabbos has to requires a meleches machshavas, so therefore dovel she'eino miskaven, you're doing it without any machshava. There is no machshavas. So in that case, it should be mutar. It should be allowed. And he says, Pnei Yeshua, from the concept of meleches machshavas, we learn also other things. All those things that we tried to discuss last week, or some of us tried to discuss last week, but all of these things are putter on Shabbos because they lack the prerequisite, the idea of meleches machsheves. And because of that, since there is no meleches machsheves with Dorosh Miskaven, so on Shabbos it is okay, so kal vachomer for the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Okay, that is reason number one of the Pnei Yeshua. I will go actually directly, before we see reason number two, let's peek in the Reb Asher Weiss. I copy-pasted his weekly shiur from Tavshin Ayin Daled, almost 9 years ago. So he says in the top of page two, he says, why is it that I think the Pnei Yeshua is wrong about this? Because, indeed, you're right. From the concept of Melechem Machsheves, we learn a bunch of halachos. We learn about Dorosh Miskaven. We learn about Melacha She'ena Tzecha Legufa. Let's say Mekalkel. All those things are usher, at least, Minder Rabbanan. You're right. Melacha She'ena Tzecha Legufa is Pater, Aval Usher. You can't, you're not chayiv skila on it. It's not a chiyuv deraisa, but there still is a chiyuv derabanan not to do these things on Shabbos. Although turning off the light on Shabbos is only Isra derabanan. However, it is Isra derabanan. It's a melacha she'ena tzecha legufa, right? I think this is also Mishnah Yomis, extinguishing fire on Shabbos. So although it's not an Isra deraisa, it still is an Isra derabanan. So melacha she'ena tzecha legufa and a kalkil and a bunch of other things are still asur min derabanan. However, Davar she'ena miskaven is mutar. It's not only that's patur v'al asur, it is mamish mutar. So if we're all saying that this is all the same thing, melacha she'ena tzecha legufa and davar she'ena miskaven, because they all come from meleches machsheves, so wait a second. We say that melacha she'ena tzecha legufa is patur, but it still is asur, so the same thing should be also regarding davar she'ena miskaven. Nevertheless, davar she'ena miskaven is actually mutar. So why is that? It has to be a different reason. Okay? So reason number one, according to Yeshua, why is davar she'eino miskaven mutar? Because he says, since you have no kavana, no intention doing this thing, there's no meleches machsheves, which is why he says, wait a second, if it's because of the lack of meleches machsheves, it should be like mekalkel, it should be like other things, meleches machsheves gufa, that might not have the biblical prohibition, but they still have the rabbinic prohibition. That is reason number one of the Pnei Yeshua and Rosher Weiss rejecting this reason. Reason number two. So here we need to peek a bit in footnote number three, back to page one. Forgive me for going back and forth. So there's a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos says that there are two psukim regarding kilayim. And why do we need these two psukim? Why do we need both the pasuk of lo yale alecha? And why do we also need the words of lo tilbash shatnez? Why do we need both of them? Says the Gemara in Yevamos, daf bet dal damud bet, diket avrachmana lo yale alecha. Only, if it was only written, lo yale alecha, it shouldn't be on you. Hava mina, kol derech ha'ala sarachmana, afilu mochek sut. It shouldn't be on you under any circumstances. Even when it's on you, when you're actually not enjoying it and not wearing it. Like a person who is mochek sut. Back in the day, they didn't have mannequins to show the clothes, so they had mamish human beings that were wearing the clothes and presenting themselves. So these people weren't actually enjoying it, had no command to enjoy this. It was only on them without them actually enjoying it. So maybe in that case, it's written, also these people, these human mannequins cannot have the clothes on them. So the Torah adds, that no, these human mannequins are allowed to go with this on you, on them. Why? Because it's not, the Isra is not only, it shouldn't be on you, it means don't wear it. And since they don't have any kavana, they have no intention to actually enjoy this nice piece of clothing on them, so there is no kavana, so in that case, they're not actually wearing it. It's only on them, and you have to have the requirement of yilbash, of wearing it, not being physically on you, so because of that, they are okay. So we see from Kilayim, says Bnei Yehoshua, that a person that is wearing clothes without a kavana, it is Mutar, says Pnei Yehoshua, I learned from Kilayim to the entire Torah that Dovol She'eino Miskaven Mutar. That is Pnei Yehoshua. Again, so in the case of Kilayim, a person is wearing clothes without kavana of chimum, as Rashi says, without the intention of enjoying these clothes. Since you have no kavana, it is okay. In the halachas of Kilayim, we copy paste from here to all the Torah kula that if you have no kavana, you're fine.
But it's very easy to say what is the kavana in the Melach on Shabbos. It's very difficult to understand what is the kavana in other, like in wearing clothes. Like, why do we
enjoying the heat of the clothes, which is protecting, enjoying the protection.
You enjoy not being shirtless. Why not? This is the kavana. The kavana is to being dressed.
So you're saying that we could define Levisha in other ways.
Right.
Interesting.
So
Rosh Weiss rejects the Pnei Yehoshua. I won't say he's saying what you're saying, but he says that we learn from the Torah, from Lotilbash, what is Lilbosh? What is the definition of wearing something? And he says we learn from there that the definition of wearing something is enjoying it. So once you're not enjoying, so in that case, there is no Levisha. So he says that to the Pnei Yehoshua, there isn't a Maisa Levisha, and because of your lack of Kavana, it is Mutar in the case of Kilayim. No, the Torah tells you in Yevamos, there is no Levisha. Since you're not enjoying it, you're only modeling it, you're only a human mannequin, so it's not they're doing a Maisa without Kavana, there is no Maisa. Because the definition of Yilbash is Hana'at Chimum. The fact that you don't have any kavan of Hana'at Chimum tells us that there was no Levisha. So he says that, he says as a given, that wearing something only as a protection from cold and a source of heat, that is the definition of Levisha, of wearing clothes.
Then what is it if it's not Levisha? If someone just wears the clothes because he doesn't want to be shirtless.
So he says no. It's on you. You're not wearing it. The definition of wearing something has to be, that's how he understands Rashi, that there has to have their hana'at chim. So again, so according to Pnei Yehoshua, what is our source, what is the reason of those shayim iskav, which is mutar? So says Pnei Yehoshua, we learn from the idea of kilayim, and why? Because the person there that has no kavana of enjoying, it is fine. Rejects this, Rebbe Moshe Weiss, and says, no, because the idea of Doshim Iskaven is, I brought here both his words in the summary of the shir, and also brought his mamish words from the shir, because I think it was clear in the shir. And he says that the definition of Levisha, of wearing something, is Kavanat Chimum. So if there's no Kavanat Chimum, if there's no intention to keep yourself warm, so in that case, there is no Levisha. So it's not that there's a Maisa that you did without a Kavana. No. It is actually something else. It is that you're not wearing it at all, because the definition of wearing clothes is to keep you warm, and not to just merely be on you as a presenter, and also maybe also keeping yourself modest.
Is it specifically warmth, or is it specifically trying to, like, the temperature of the body to be like, I don't know.
So you know what? His words can be interpreted, I think, in either way, because Moshe White says in the footnotes, Moshe brought his words. Usually, I listen to things double speed here, listen to half the speed in order to write it down. And he says that Levisha, Shinah Hashem Hana'a, and then the Levisha. So maybe keeping yourself modest is some kind of Hana'a, which could be defined as Levisha. Could be. But the person who's a mannequin, so he's not wearing this just to keep himself modest. He's not wearing this because he is cold. He's doing this because of other reasons, just to present himself. This is not Levisha, says Moshe Weiss.
After
yeah.
Chumash, it says initially that Levisha was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the Levush for Adam and Chava. Apparently, that was not because of warmth. It was because of, what do you call it?
Okay. It was for some kind of benefit. A person who's now presenting it, so he's not benefiting from the clothes, he's benefiting maybe from the money which is generated from the clothes, because this is his job. I hear. It could be that I agree with you, and they could define Hanal Avisha in other ways, not necessarily only by gaining heat.
If
he's now inside here and it's warm inside, so he's doing it only because of the presentation. Maybe that shows that he's not wearing it.
The problem is, that's what I went back to check. When I learned the sugya of Mochik Sus, I had thought Mochik Sus was he's carrying the clothing from place to place. Not that he's wearing it as a model.
He's only holding it?
It's on him, but for the sake of transport, not for the sake of wearing it as a model. And I went back and looked, and I actually saw the chavrus on the bottom of the oven brings both. He brings both chinos. But if you're going to tell me that he's wearing it the way I thought, which is it's not really wearing it bechlah. That fits a lot better with the Russia whites.
Uh-huh.
He's wearing it as a model. It is an act of wearing.
It's
an act of wearing.
Interesting. Okay. So can a person now wear kleisha and be the model of kleisha? I don't know. Can moichik sus? How many sir you could do without doing a nisr because it's not levisha? Interesting. Anyway, this is a tangent because this is just an introduction to the real reasons that the Achronim want to bring. Why is it that Doshe Miskaven is mutter? So we had two reasons of Teoshua. Rabbi Shua Weiss rejects them. Okay. Now let's see the reasons that the Achronim bring. So I started here with the Kovetz Shiurim in source number 6 in page 2. And he actually brings two things together which actually makes sense. He brings the concept of mitzvot, tzrichot, kavana. Right? We're saying that mitzvah has to have a kavana. If there is no kavana, this is not a mitzvah. The same thing is also the opposite. Averos, tzrichos, kavana. If you want to not do an avera, so you have to have a kavana. If you're doing an avera without a kavana, adavel she'eino miskaven, so in that case also, it is okay. Why is that so? So says the Kovetz Shiurim as follows. So first of all, he says, hinei matzilu shnei sugei mitzvot. You should know that there are, if you want to categorize mitzvot to two groups, we could categorize the following. Aleph, she'aseta ma'aseh le'adam, hi guf ha-mitzvah, kon shufar, lulav, one mitzvah, which is a mitzvah on the person to do a certain ma'isa, to do something, shake the lulav, put on tzitzis, put on tefillin, blow the shofar, do this action. That is one type of mitzvah. Bet, shikar mitzvah hi totzaot ha-ma'aseh. That there are certain mitzvahs that the mitzvah is to gain a certain result. Kigon pidyon shvuim, to save people out of prison, pliat ba'al chov, to pay a debt, pliat uviya, bringing children to the world. And he says that nafkamina, potential nafkamina could be, do we need a kavana? He says in mitzvot that the result of the mitzvah is what we actually desire. There is no need for a kavana. With priat bal chov mitzvah, im parash shelo bechavan mitzvah, lo namash tzich hazor bifua. If I paid back my $100,000 debt to the bank, and now, hey, excuse me, mister, you had no kavana at the time of the mitzvah, priat bal chov, pay us back again. Of course not. Because the result of getting the money happened in the end. This was the mitzvah, the result of you getting money. Although I didn't have any good kavana at the time, since the result happened, it is okay. Same thing is also regarding Priya Uviyai says. The mitzvah is to have a result of having children. So even if you didn't have kavana of the mitzvah bringing these children, it is okay. From here, the poskim learn that if there is no ma'isa mitzvah at all in regarding bringing children like IVF or IUI, things like that, so all those things are without any ma'isa, still you fulfill the mitzvah because the result is what is desired. And the same thing is also regarding the mitzvah of Biyat Arami Kirbecha. Okay? So he says, when you need a result, so in that case, you have to have, so in that case, you don't need to have a kavana. One second. And it says, however, mitzvos that have a certain maisa, so yes, since you have to have to do this certain action, the action has to have a kavana. And says kovitz shiurim, and the opposite thing will be regarding isurim. Ukeagav nagam beisurim nimtza achiluk hazeh. Hey, chasha isuru shelo yaseh adam maaseh, aval im taaseh maaseh melah, im ezek peda klal, kigo melechet shabbat, וזה דבר שמתכבד מותר. זה מעשה שיעשה בלא כוונה, אינה נחשבת על האדם, אלא כאילו נעשית מעלה היא חשובה. He says, so since we had to have a kavana of a maise, of a maise mitzvah, for this mitzvah to have a value, if you're not blowing the shofar to just to have music, so in that case you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, because you have to have the maise of blowing the shofar or hearing the shofar, whatever that is, you have to have that. Since you have no kavana, there is no maise mitzvah. Says the same thing, says Kovitz Shiurim, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, he's the same thing also regarding Isser Shabbos. Since the Isser is to do a certain maise mitzvah, don't turn on the light, don't start a fire, don't make a hole in the ground. So since you had no kavana at the time, it is fine. A mitzvah without a kavana is not a maise mitzvah. Also, a maise aveira without kavana is not a maise aveira. And listen to the words that he says, which is very important. The maase shenaset belo kavana eina nechshevet al hadam ela keilu naset meelea hi chashuva. A maise that a person did without any kavana, we say that he didn't do this thing. This maise randomly happened in the world. It wasn't made by you. He gives an example that in the field of shechita, so a person has to do a maise shechita in order to now eat this animal. So he says, even if a person dropped the knife and did a kosher shechita, was unbelievable. He dropped the knife and then mamish two simonim. It's 100% kosher. It's great. No, because since they had no kavana, he didn't do this maisa. You have to have kavana in order for a maisa to be considered a maisa. And he says mushum hachi shari Rabbi Shimon dvar sheinu mitkaven. So here he says explicitly, this is why Rabbi Shimon says the dvar sheinu mitkaven is mutter, because something that you do without any kavana, so in that case, it is as if it just happened and you didn't do this thing at all. But things that the result is a problem, he gives an example of his asik b'chalavim v'arayos, Torah forbids you to enjoy or benefit eating certain things, or the Torah forbids you from enjoying certain arayos. So even if you had no kavana at the time, right, the example of Isasek, a person went to the bedroom, thought he was with someone who he's allowed to be with, and it was with someone who he wasn't allowed to be with. So since there is a result of an Isser, there is the Hana'ah, you're benefiting from a thing which is actually Usser, so because of that, even though there's no kavana, it still is prohibited. But averos that the prohibition is to do a certain maisa, if there is no kavana, it is fine. Because you did not do this. This randomly happened in the world. This is the svara of the Kovitz Shiurim. In the end, he also says, because of that, if there are certain averos that the result is a problem, like ritzicha, so a person killed a person without a kavana, still he is chayav, because again, the result here is a problem of hurting a person, of killing a person. But again, the asud, sorry? No, you are. He thinks it is usur, at least it is usur. At least it is usur. Yeah, because there's no maze of asura. No, it's usur. He'll have chiyuv of gold, so I don't know. No, but it still is an usur. It's not mutter. I can't say, okay, I'm now juggling knives in the air, and someone will die, so be it. No, it's still usur. What? If
you know or not.
Okay.
That's the point of saying it's
usur. It's usur, meaning that so we see that there is a chiyuv, golos. He does mention here, choyvel ba'aviv, I don't know. But as he says, every mitzvah, every issue that you have, a result which is a problem, even if there isn't the kavana, you still violate this isser. So again, according to Kovitz Shiurim, not like Tfnei Yoshua, he says, alam this idea, why is it that Dorshim Miskaven is mutter? Because if there isn't any kavana, you didn't do this thing. It happened on its own, you did not do this maisa. That is according to Kovitz Shiurim. Now, before the Kavis Shiurim, a few hundred years before the Kavis Shiurim, already the Maharal said the exact same thing in Tiferet Yisrael. In source number 7, the Maharal says in Tiferet Yisrael that some people think that the world was randomly created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the world and the universe is not being involved in the creation of the world. Chashvu arbe bin Adam, ki kol ha-mitziut hazeh b'mikre kara, just happened by accident. No. The Torah says, Sheshet Yamim, asa Hashem teshvam et haaretz. Hashem did and created the Shemaim and the Aris, the world and the heavens. He created it. Lehodia, ki lo haya mitziuto b'mikre. It didn't happen by chance, by accident. He mamish did it. Because why? Ki im haya mitziuto b'mikre min ha-poal, lo nikra ze po'el klal. If it just happened, it happened, so in that case, it happened randomly without HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking about it, intentioning to do it, to create the world. So in that case, it doesn't count as if he created it. A creation is only when you actually had covenant to do so. He says that the Maharal, this is a simple svara. Kol poal b'mikre eno nikra poal. I'm not sure if it's poal or poel. B'mikre eno nikra poel. She'arei amru, davar she'eno mitkaven b'shabbat, mutar. A person is allowed to do all these things on Shabbos, ובלבד שלא יתקיים. וכל זה מפני שלא יתייחס אל האדם שעשה פועל כאשר פעל במקרה. If something happened without your kavana, so this is not considered to do, this is not considered, this is considered as if you did not do this thing. This happened, you didn't do it. And that's why the Torah emphasizes Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. If he did a maise, he had to have a kavana, an intention for creating the world.
One of the problems that we can give here is like, why would Adam be mu'ad le'olam then? If I'm not doing things with my intention, so okay,
because Ezekiel is a different story.
Why?
The result. Because the result. Because the result.
That would focus.
Yeah. Here we don't need a maisa vera. No, you're responsible for also for the consequences of your stuff, of your actions, the result.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
So how because the Chairman explained the Midrash, because he's making a parallel between whether it's a mitzvah or a vera or not. Come on, it's like nothing happened.
So there is a machlokas regarding the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, if he holds it's only Isra Derabanan, or he holds it's an Isra Deraisa. It is actually a whole sugya. Separate sugya, what does he hold? Is it Mamish Amaisa, or he says at least it's an Isra Derabanan? Some say it's only Isra Derabanan. So in that case, it actually makes sense that although it's not your action, but still, Rabbanan said that you have to be careful. So it's a machlokas regarding Rabbi Yehuda. Asvin de Raisa, one of my favorite books, so he says in Klal Kaf Daled, that the same thing that Kshasa Torah Maase Be'alma, as Ksheino Mitkaven, Nechshav Shelo Asa Adam Maase Klal, Rak Kenasa Me'elav Nechshav. A person that does a Maase without Kavana, this Maase happened randomly, you did not do this thing. You do not do this thing. He brings a raya from the case of Yevomis. Once the rabbis were arguing about a certain halacha, until they tore apart the Sefer Torah. They tore apart the Sefer Torah. Then we're asked, no. It's not shekaru. They didn't tear apart the Sefer Torah. Nikra Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah was torn, but they did not tear it. And says Tosfot, karu mashma bechavana. So Tosfos says, in order to say that person did a certain action, he has to actually do it with kavana. But if he doesn't do it with kavana, so in that case, he didn't do it. So although they did tore this, they're now arguing, and out of the anger of their argument, one tore the Sefer Torah, but it was without kavana. Although he actually did it, he did the ma'aseh of this, but since he had no kavana at the time, we said that the Sefer Torah was nikra, because again, a ma'aseh without a kavana is not a ma'aseh. Okay, so that's all these sources show the idea that why is it that Dol Shem Iskavim is mutar? Because if there's no kavana, so this ma'aseh happened randomly in the world. You did not do this thing. Okay, so this is Asvin Deraisa, Koshuri, Maharal, also Chazunish says so, but Chazunish also finishes with a question. So basically, in that case, why is Psik Reisha Asur? If Dol Shem Iskavim, if you have no kavana of doing this thing, right? If you have no kavanah of doing this thing, so why in the case that this thing definitely happens, you're now, you just want the bench. You just want the bench to come from here to your house. And now you're dragging the bench. It's a very heavy bench, which is a psikresha that's going to dig a hole. So in that case, why are you chayiv? You have no kavanah of digging a hole. You just want the bench in your house. So in that case, why are you chayiv? Why, in the case of psikresha, says the Chazon Ish, you're a chayav? If we hold this beautiful definition that maisa, that kavan is not a maisa at all, it's happened randomly, why is psikresha chayav? Okay. So in order to answer this question, we have to learn a bit about psikresha de lo nichali. And this is in our very long Tosfot that I brought pieces of it from our sugya in Ksubus Vav Amud Aleph. Back to our original Gemara, the case of the barrel that has inside wine or beer or something, and now it has a hole. The halach is, according to Rav, you cannot take a piece of cloth and stick it inside the hole because you're doing some kind of violation. Now see what the violation is exactly. And the reason is, wait a second, but it's the Loshem Iskavin, you didn't want to do this Maisa. So he said, no, this is Psikresha. What exactly is the Isser there? Tosfot brings, I think, three options. In source number 10, he says, why, what is the problem of sticking this cloth, this sponge, in that hole? The first, he says, maybe it is schita. He says, kashel Rabbeinu Tam. How could it be schita? Da schita mishum libun. Velo chashecha v'shar mashkin, dechol hadavar ha-melachlechet bol'o, kiyonyayim v'shechar, lo shechli gumi schitato, ela davka mayim. Why is schita an issue? Why can't you really take water out of a sponge in Shabbos? The reason is because of a libun, because you're actually cleaning this piece of cloth. You clean things only when you have water inside. But if you have wine or oil or something else, that is not cleaning when you squeeze the water out, the liquid out. That is actually lichluch. It cannot be schita. That's his assumption at the moment. Then he says, maybe it's mefarik. There's also an isser of mefarik. It's a toada of dash, of taking out things from its original place, like squeezing a lemonade from a lemon is also mefarik. It's dash. So, maybe it's mefarik. So he says, no, it cannot be. Because when you're now squeezing, when you're now pushing the sponge inside and the water is now going to be squeezed out, this is a psikresha de lo nichale. Usually you squeeze a lemon in order to get the juice. You squeeze an orange in order to get the juice. Here you're squeezing the wine, not to get the wine. It's getting lost. It's psikresha de lo nichale. And psikresha de lo nichale, shari, it is allowed. So says, I don't get it. This cannot be libun, a cleaning, because this is not water, and this cannot be mefarek because it's a psikresha de lo nichale, and psikresha de lo nichale is shari. Again, psikresha means that this is definitely going to happen, but lo nichale, you're not benefiting from this. You don't enjoy this thing, right? Psikresha de nichale is, for example, I'm washing my hands in my garden, and I'm now watering my garden. So it's a psikresha, and also it's nichale, I'm also enjoying it. Psikresha de lo nichale is that I'm washing my hands in the garden of my enemy. I don't want him to win the local garden contest. So in that case, it's a psikresha de lo nichale. So psikresha de lo nichale, according to the Aruch, is allowed. So Tosfot answers the most easiest way in the world. It's not so easy because he gives a bunch of rayas here and there. So he says, you know what? No. You're saying that it can't be libun because libun is only water and not other beverages. I disagree. No, he says, yes, there is libun also with other beverages other than water. Easy. Ah! Problem number two, that psikresha de lo nichale is mutter? No, I think differently. I think psikresha de lo nichale is actually asur lechatchila. Beautiful. So that gives you whoever saw the Tosfot sees, it's a very long Tosfot, he goes back and forth, giving rias here and there, but there's a fundamental machlokas in two things. A, is there schita? Is there libun with other beverages other than water? And also, there's machlokes if psikresha de lo nichale is mutter or usur. According to the Aruch, it is allowed entirely. And according to other Rishonim, it is usur, at least lechatchila, min derabanan. A third option, what is the problem there, is that according to Aruch, that they're now building the barrel. That's already a separate issue. But again, we see here the fundamental machlokes of psikresha de lo nichale. Is it mutter or usur? Again, what is psikresha de lo nichale? Washing your hands in the garden of your friend, of a person who's not your friend. You don't want him. So is that mutter or usur? So we'll see in source 13, I'm going to skip 11 and 12, we're going to see in source 13 the explanation of the Kovitz Shi'urim of their machlokes, why some hold that Psikri Shalom Nichalei is a problem, and why some people hold that Psikri Shalom Nichalei is not a problem. And this will also explain to us what we actually gain by Psikresha. I wonder how to say this. So we said beforehand, why is Devil Shem Miskaven Mutar? We said according to many Achronim, because something that you do without Kavana, it's not your Maisa. This is not connected to you. So, somehow this fire is now lit, somehow this hole is now dug, whatever. You did not do that. If there isn't Kavana, you didn't do that. There's a lack of connection between you and the Maisa. That is the explanation of the thing that we said beforehand. Okay? But Birkas Shmuel, see in footnote 5, he says something differently. He says, Nirel Beru, the Daval Sheinu Mitkaven, Afilu im Naasa Halbasha Shel Kilayim, Mikol Makom Eina Maase Avera Klal. He says, seemingly, that it's not that there's a lack of connection between you and the Maisa, but rather, if a Maisa is done without Kavana, it's not a Maisa at all. It's not a Maisa. In order for a Maisa to be a proper Maisa, which of an Isser, you have to have Kavana. If you don't put your effort into it, so this is nothing. This is just some kind of random thing that happened. You did it, but you did absolutely nothing. If you didn't put all your efforts inside of this, you didn't put all of your Kavana and attention in it, so in that case, it's nothing. Okay. Now let's see how this actually connects with Psi Kresha Dolan Nichali. Says the Kovitz Shiurim, מחלוקת הרוב התוספות בפסיקי שלו ניכלי, לכאורה נראה תם המחלוקת זו, זה תלוי בתם הדמודר בשביל הפסיקי שם. יש לפרש בזה שני תמיד. There are two options to understand what do I gain with פסיק רשע. א', כגון בנזיר חופף, אבל לא סורק, בסריקה היא פסיקי שם, ויש לומר, כיוון שיודע בסריקתו, יתלוש שערות, מקרה מכוון לכלישה, אבל היכד לא ניכלי, על כוח אינו מכוון. Says Kovitz Shiurim, explanation number one, when you know that something is going to happen, and you want this thing to happen, don't say, no, this thing is a random thing that happened in the world, I didn't do it, it's a Maisa that happened randomly, I didn't do this thing, excuse me, this is for sure going to happen, and you desire this thing to happen, so there's a connection. We said that in the beginning, that what is the problem of the Loshim Iskaven? There's a lack of a connection between, there is no connection between the person and the Maisa. If you know that this is for sure going to happen, and you're also benefiting from this, it's Nichalei, so in that case, yes, there is a connection between you and the Maisa. The Maisa is connected. If we said the problem is that there's no connection, now there is connection. There is a connection. That is option A, understanding why Psik Resha is Chayav and Doshim is Kavin. If you know this is going to happen and you desire this thing to happen, so don't say, no, this just happened, it's not me. No, it is you. What's, you did this.
What's the difference between knowing something will probably happen and knowing something will happen?
What?
What's the difference between knowing something will probably happen? 80% sure, and knowing something.
So there is a discussion in Rishonim, which I don't want to get into, about something which it is very likely is going to happen, but it's not for sure going to happen. That's where your question, how much of psikresha has to be a psikresha? Has to be 110%? Or 90%? 80%? There seems to be a Bachokas Rishonim about this. There seems to be a Bachokas Rishonim. I didn't bring it here. It's
even if you know it might happen, even if it's 30%.
Like, so you're saying, Dilo Shem Iskaven, 50%, but you're enjoying it. So in that case, maybe that could be enough. No.
It sounds like it's about your awareness.
So I wonder. This could be a potential afkamina that you actually want this, but this is not necessarily happening. This could be a potential afkamina between these two approaches. It could be. It could be nechadami. It could very much be. Why?
No, there's no doubt about it.
So you're saying it's more important, the Vaday. The Vaday. I hear. It is a discussion that we've shown him, how much it should be likely to happen. I didn't bring it here. But I think this could be a potential affinity between these two approaches. Is the fact that you're benefiting from it and there's a chance it's going to happen. So yes, you have a certain command of this thing happening. Is secretion that that is option one. That since it's for sure going to happen, there is your kavana, and you want this to happen. So in that case, this maisa is connected to you. That is option number one. Option number two says the Kovitz Shiurim, no, that the problem of Dolosh Miskaven is he brings here the example of a person who's combing his hair. He's now doing srika, he's combing his hair, and then he's plucking out also hair. So if he's a nazir or in Shabbos, it's a problem. So if it's a double shem iskaven, what did I do? I did a maisa of srika. I didn't do maisa tlisha. But if it's for sure going to happen, who are you kidding? This thing, by definition, is considered to be both maisa srika and maisa tlisha. Since this is for sure going to happen, so the maisa itself becomes an important maisa. So if we said that double shem iskaven, the problem is, the reason why it's mutter is because this is not a maisa. This, you moving the bench from here to there is not a maise of digging. It's not an act of digging. But if it's for sure going to happen, you can call this whatever you want. This is digging. I'm now doing the maise of digging. So I don't care about what you think. I care about the importance of this melacha. Is this considered to be dragging a bench, or is this considered to be digging? This is digging because it's for sure going to dig. In that case, don't fool me. Don't fool yourself. This is called digging. So according to the second approach, psik reisha doesn't now connect between the person and the maisa, but it gives the maisa a different name. You wanted to call this moving a bench? No, this is called digging. The problem of double shem iskaven was that this cannot be called digging because you're just moving a bench. But since it's for sure going to happen, this is called digging. The nafkamina says, is if this thing is not lichali. If we say that the problem of double shem iskaven is that this thing happened and it's not and has nothing to do with you, and now we want to connect between you and the maisa, so we need to have your benefit from it, your happiness from it, in order to connect you to this thing. You have to have the nichalei. But if we say that the problem of Doshim Iskaven is that this is not a maisa of digging when you're now moving the bench, so I don't care about what you think. I just care, how do you define this maisa? It's for sure digging, although you have no desire of digging, but since this is for sure going to happen, this is a maisa of digging. Okay? So, we have two ways to understand what is double shem iskaven, and because of that, two ways, how does psik reisha make you chayev? Is the double shem iskaven a problem that there's no connection between the person and the maisa that is done? So that is psik reisha denichale. You have to enjoy it in order to connect yourself to the maisa. Or we're saying that double shem iskaven tells me that there is no maisa issue here. There is no maisa of digging a hole when you're only moving a bench. But if it's for sure going to happen, no. The maisa is a maisa. And even if not nichale, even if la nichale, still you're going to be chayev. And that is the svaros between these two opinions in Tosfot. Is this clear? Crystal. Baruch Hashem. We have another 3.5 minutes. Okay. So now, there's another interesting, fascinating nafkamina between these two approaches. We might actually elaborate about it next week. We'll see. And that is regarding Sfek Psik Reisha. Yesterday, I was asked, Sfek Psik Reisha, that means it's not for sure going to happen? That means it's a double shem iskaven, right? Okay, let's see. In Hilchos Tzeda, Hilchos Hunting, there's a great shir about hunting and Shabbos and Shari Tefillah, Shabbos and Shabbos. So in Hilchos Tzeda, in Source 14, in Ochaim Shit and Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says that even flies, although usually people don't hunt flies, a person is not allowed to hunt flies on Shabbos. You can't put a fly, you see here this annoying fly, you can't put a cup on the fly on Shabbos. It is Isur Tzeda. Okay. And because of that, since flies are also subject to the Isser of Seda, so in that case, if now you're now collecting your children's toys and putting it in the toy box, and you see a fly inside, so in that case, you can't close the toy box, because now you're actually capturing the fly in the toy box. So although there is no Kavana, but there is Psik Reisha. This is for sure going to happen, that you're going to catch this fly. Okay? Fine. Says the Taz, what happens if now there's a small box? You don't know if they have flies inside there or not. Can you close this box? Because if there are inside there flies, so in that case, you're doing Seda. And if there aren't, so it's fine. So can you, but you have no idea. Can you close this box with flies?
Why would there be flies in the box?
Because usually there are flies in the box. It's a good question. Is there now chashash all the time? Wait a second.
Yeah,
I can't close this book because there's a fly over here. Yeah. So I guess we have to assume that there might be flies there. For instance, I'll give you an example in Israel. So we have cats. We don't have squirrels and raccoons and foxes and other things. But we have cats, a lot of cats, and they are usually in the dumpster. So let's say on Shabbos, you go throw your trash, and you want to close the dumpster. Wait a second, there might be a cat inside. And many times there are cats inside, and it's very, very frightening. That's why you always go during the daytime to throw the. In that case, can you close the dumpster? Because there might be a cat inside. Okay? Halach l'maisa, happens all the time. By the way, it also happens here with squirrels. But anyway. You're right. Yeah. Okay, so anyways, if there's a safek, says the Taz, you're allowed. In source 15, b'safek im yesham zvuvim yesh latir, desham ein psik resha, ki ze have safek psik resha. It's only a safek psik resha. That is the Taz. Okay. Many achronim disagree with the Taz, because the Ramah, in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, in Surah 16, in Yoreh De'ah, Pizayin Sif Vav, he says the following. You walk into your kitchen, you have, let's say you have a separate apartment for your non-Jewish help, and now you see, for some reason, you go into his apartment downstairs, and you see that there is, on the fire, there is some kind of pot. Can you now try to move the fire and poke it or something? Be involved in the bishul. Says the Ramah, yesh omrim, de'asur lachtot ha'esh tachat ha'kedera shel goy. You can't now poke it or be involved in the bishul. Why? Sometimes they have their mason, they have their milchik. So in that case, if you're not going to poke it, maybe you're not going to be involved in the bishul of basar v'chalav, or at least the flavor of basar v'chalav. So says the Ramah, don't poke it. No. Also there, double shagim miskavin should be mutter, because it's a ma'isa.
Logic makes sense, but it's a completely different case altogether.
Why?
This seems logic. We should also say, by mitzvah suchas kavanah, em suchas kavanah, by definition, if I'm saying, lo suchas kavanah, so I don't desire suchas kavanah, nor to be over it. Or we say specifically, by Hilchos Shabbos, we do need to ask for kavanah, otherwise you're not doing it.
But not only Hilchos Shabbos, also in other fields, the Torah, also here.
But we do call batar chavah, chimshu, that's lash of the rabbi, in particular.
So no, it means that the entire problem of mixing up is a chiddush, but the fact that the Torah tells you not only not to eat it, but also not to cook it, that's a chiddush. But does it mean that all the halachas regarding this chiddush is not true? Okay, please forgive me, because we have 9 minutes left and there's a beautiful Reb Shmuel to see here. So Rabbi Kivigil says, I don't understand. Why can't I poke this pot? I don't know for sure if this non-Jew cooked recently both basar and chalav. I don't know. And since I don't know, it's a davar she'eino miskaven. Right? That's what he says. I don't know if me poking now, I'm going to cook now basar and chalav together. So in that case, it's a davar she'eino miskaven. It should be mutter. Says Rabbi Kivigil, no. I think there's fundamentally a difference between this and a regular davar she'eino miskaven. Because he says, צריך לומר, in source 17, second line, דווקא בספק דלהבא, שמה לא יהיה נעסקן במעשה שלו, כמו גורר כיסא בספסל, דהבי ספק שם בגרירתו לא עושה גומה, אבל בספק דעבר כמו הכה, אם יש בקדרה בלוע בשב החלב, זה ודאי יתבשל, הספק שמהים בשב החלב, זה מקרי פסיק רשע. I'll explain. I read it out very quickly. I'll explain. What is a regular davar she'eino miskaven? I'm now going to drag this chair. I don't know in the future if I'm going to now make a hole or not. I don't know. It's a suffix regarding the future. Here, says Rabbi Kivigil, here the suffix is on the future. It is regarding givens in the past. Things in the past. I don't know. Did he cook here or not? Poking is for sure a ma'isa bishul. I just don't know here if I have the basar and the chalav. It's a suffix regarding the past. Psik resha is that the ma'isa itself in the future, I have no idea what's going to happen. Is this going to make a hole or not? I have no idea. That is davar she'eino miskaven. But here, I'm doing a ma'isa bishul. I don't know what in the past would happen. It's a suffix l'she'ovar. Things that have, I don't know the netunim, the givens of the past. In that case, that is suffix psik resha, which is a suffix deraisa l'chumra, if it's a deraisa issue, and not davar she'eino miskaven. So we have, but he says against the Taz, right? Because the Taz says that now closing a box on a place where potentially flies could be there, he says, it's a Doshem Iskavin. According to Kivege, and also Bir Halacha, and see footnote 6, they say, no, it's not Doshem Iskavin, because again, Doshem Iskavin is only suffering regarding the future. I don't know if in the future, if they're going to make a hole. But here, he says, I don't know what happened in the past. That is totally different. Okay? So we have a machlokas, Rav Kveiger, and the Taz and Bir Halacha goes with Rav Kveiger, and they say that Sofek also a Sofek, what happened in the past, that is also considered to be, that is not considered to be the Hashem Iskaven, that is Sofek Psik Reisha. I don't know if now, when you're going to cook, you're actually going to do a Psik Reisha. So what is the machlokas? We have, there is an interesting Mishmar Eschaim that is maybe could like to see. But what is their machlokas? So says Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, and he says their machlokas is the exact same machlokas regarding the psik reisha de lo nichali. And as he says in source 19, e neima ketzad echad dehad asar Reb Shimon bepsik reisha mishun dehayedia dehavi psik reisha mashmele kimitkaven. The fact I know that this is going to happen, so now there is a connection between. If we said that the reason that Doshem Iskaven is mutter, because there's no connection between the person who did the action and the action itself, and if you have a situation d'nichalei that you want this thing to happen, so there is a connection. So says Reb Shmuel, if the problem is a lack of a connection, so who cares if there's a lack of connection? I don't know if this is going to happen because of things in the future or things in the past. I, the Gavra, I don't know if this thing is going to happen, so in that case, this thing should be okay, because I still have no kavana. I don't know if dragging the chair is going to make a hole. I don't know if now poking the pot is going to cook, because I have no idea what happened in the past. In both cases, I am ignorant. I'm clueless. I don't know what's going to happen. So since I don't know, there is still no connection between me and the thing itself. In that case, that is still davar she'eino niskaven. If the problem of Doshem Iskaven is a lack of connection between the person and the Maisa itself, so since I don't know what's going to happen in the future, I don't know what happened in the past, so since I don't know, there is no connection. But says, but if we go according to the other reason, why is Doshem Iskaven mutter, is because this Maisa is not a Maisa, if it's not for sure going to happen, here it's not true. Let's see the words of Reb Shmuel. Aber it's not bet. Had a sub shim psikresha, no shim the chashit kivin etzem lacha. Ela the kivan the psikresha who chayav af beloshish kavana the poala lamlacha, kivan the pulato machracha tatotza, since this thing is for sure going to happen, even though I didn't have any intention, but this is for sure going to happen, so this is not considered to be dragging a chair, but rather this is now digging in the ground. Imken hachanami besafek hatalui bedavar de leshavar denami asuru. So if it's a suffix, what happened in the past? Kevan lehatzad sheteaseh melachah bepulato kumgav datas iushem zvuvim ativa harede bepulato muchrach shivatzer veze melechet sida. Imken efshar lechayvo beze. If indeed in the past there was meat and fleishik and milchik in this pot, so now me doing this is for sure going to be a maisa bishul. So in that case, the maisa itself is a maisa bishul. If indeed there are flies, squirrels, and cats inside the dumpster, and me closing it is going to capture them, I'm not closing the dumpster. I'm now doing a malach of tzeda. So the malacha itself, by definition, is not going to be considered as a maisa tzeda, a maisa bishul. Because again, these are things that happened in the past. The maisa itself is for sure a maisa bishul. It just depends. What is there squirrel here inside? Or did he cook here in the past? So the maisa itself is considered to be a maisa of tzeda. So in that case, the maisa is a maisa iser. So now we have all the suffix deraisa the chumra. If it's deraisa, deraisa. If it's derabana, derabana. But it's a suffix psik reisha. So again, I'll try to summarize this and make this clear. We have here a discussion that I'm now going to close this box. Maybe I'm going to capture flies inside. Maybe, says the Taz, since you don't know if you have here inside flies or not, this is Doshem Iskaven, but it's Mutter. Says Bir Halacha, no, I disagree, because it's different. Because here it's not a question of what's happening in the future. The question is, if now in the past, did we have flies inside? If we say That double shem iskaven means there's no connection between me and the ma'aseh because I don't know about what's going to happen. So in that case, you, whatever you don't know, what's happening in the future or what happened in the past, you still don't know. There still isn't any connection. You're right. This is double shem iskaven, which is mutter. But if we say that no, double shem iskaven means that this ma'aseh is not a ma'aseh because I don't know if this is going to happen, but if it's for sure going to happen, just you don't know a few things, if there's a fly here or not. But if there's a fly here, this is a Maisit Seda, this is Psik Reisha. And because of that, it's a Sufik Psik Reisha. And if it involves the Raisa issues, it's a Sufik Psik Reisha L'chumra. If it's the Rabbanan issues, it's a Sufik Psik Reisha L'kula. Is this clear? Yeah?
How would we analyze that?
Again, sorry?
Yerushalayim and Lal Shabbos now.
What? Oh. Okay, so let's stop here.